Good morning, church family, and our brothers and sisters in Roma who'll catch this a little bit later. Each week, about half the services here at Dalby will get a recorded talk and half will get a live talk as we try and figure out how to keep doing that many services. Early church this morning, it's you, and we are looking at this idea of destiny. I want to read a couple of bits of the Bible, and we're actually going to look at all kinds of bits this morning, some of which the kids need for their kids' sheet. But I won't read those now until we're in the talk, and then kids, you'll get the answers you need. First of all, I want to read from Exodus chapter 19 this morning. And in Exodus 19, verse 1 to 6, we read this. In the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped in the desert in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "Here's what you are to say to the house of Jacob, what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings, brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." The second bit I want to read to you before the talk, Ephesians chapter 3, and here I'm just going to look at verse 10 and 11. God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to pray and then we'll get into our talk. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you would be with us as we hear your word. Deliver it in a different way to us, in a different time, but you are the same God. And so please help us to listen, help us to gather around Jesus, and by your Spirit, show us our future in him. Amen. Well, you would have seen before in the kids' talk that Ben did a little thing with that app where he showed what you look like when you get quite a bit older, what your future self looks like. And I did do it with me as well. So here's a photo of me, apparently, in the future. My wife says that it actually makes me look like my nan. So that's my future. My destiny is to look like my nan. What about you? When you look at the generations above you, can you see your destiny? If you look at some of the sheets of the kids who are around you colouring them in, can you see their destiny? They're meant to be drawing that. Destiny is what we're looking at today. And a bit like the other things we've been looking at in this series, this term called union with Christ, this idea of destiny, it's a bit airy-fairy really, isn't it? Hard to kind of take hold of. So instead of what's your destiny, you think about it like this. What's your future? What are your dreams? What does it look like for you in the future if it's going really well? Not so much physically, although I'm sure a lot of you have got thoughts about what you'd like to look like. But where's it all heading? What would be the pinnacle of your existence? Or some of you might be thinking, oh, I'm already past that. Is your aim big financial security? Do you kind of dream of just things sort of being arranged nicely finally? Is your big aim a close family, close extended family? Is your dream for a bunch of restored cars? Is your dream dominating League of Legends? Or do you just want people to talk well about you when you die? What do you reckon it is? I'd be surprised if you could rattle it off, but I think we've all got those kind of dreams in our head, whether vaguely or really deliberately. And see, for the Christian person, there is actually a really clear future. There is actually a really clear destiny. And when we see it, what it does is it changes what we love, changes what we celebrate, it changes how we feel about what we should achieve. So we're going to explore that this morning under 3 points. Where we came from, what is our problem, where we're going. Where we came from, what is our problem, and where we're going. See, before our destiny, we have got to figure out where it all started. So our first point is where we came from. And it makes sense to go right back to the start. So back in Genesis chapter 1, the first chapter of the Bible, one of the biggest things is not so much how things were made, but why things were made. And people were made to show God. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God says, "Let us make mankind in our image." And that's exactly what God does. People, boys, girls, men, women, all of them. We see it in Genesis 1:27. And kids, if you're sitting there with your sheet, this is the first verse. You need some words here to fill it in. Listen carefully for them. Here it is in Genesis 1:27. "So God created mankind in his own image." In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. He made people in the image of God. And what does that mean? Well, you know, in the world where they first read this book, Genesis, it was clear to them in many ways, because their king was the image of God, the one who represented God on earth, almost like the Marvel heroes in Thor and Avengers. The king showed his authority and spread his image through the regions by putting up images and statues of themselves, reminding people who they were, the ones connected to God. If you wanted to know the king who knew God, you saw his image in the statue. But the God of the Bible comes and said, "Hey, listen, it's not statues or kings that will show everyone what I'm like. People will do that." To be in the image of God means to show God to others. Where people came from was being that kind of kingly, royal image of God, showing people others. And on top of that, the image of God meant something else, something more, something we saw from that reading in Exodus. The image of God meant to be the ones who connected God with others, who went between God and others. We call them priests in the Bible. God originally wanted his people to know and show others God. In our reading, we saw it like this, Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. "Although the whole earth is mine, God says, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." God made his people as his royal priests, as his image bearers, representing him, being like him on this earth. Before we land on our destiny, on our real future, here's where we came from: God's image bearers. I want to take a little aside here, if I can, and a little aside here just to do a bit on the Trinity. I'll tell you when I'm finished the aside, in case you find this hard to listen to. I'll tell you when I'm done so you can come back. But to help you understand more deeply what it means to show others God, we need to know fundamentally what he's like, which is that God is three in one. Being like God doesn't mean that you can lift a planet or read everyone's mind, which would be creepy, or always heal the sick. Some of you will have noticed that little thing in Genesis where God said, "Let us make them in our image." Us. The first hint that God is more than one. Now, I can't do a long time on this, but I want you to come with me and just imagine if God was three in one instead of just one. Because if God is just one, just one person, just one being, just by themselves for eternity past. Now, that kind of God is not very relational and not very friendly. And if they are friendly and relational, they must be extremely lonely and desperate for a mate. That's the kind of solo, non-Trinity God. But the God we meet in Jesus is not one, but somehow three: Father and Son and Spirit. What does that mean? That God is relational, is in friendships, is not lonely, had everything he needed. That God is love and knows how to love and what love means. And the Christian God exists and has always existed in loving relationship. And among other things, one of the key things that happens as we bear his image, we know his love and show his love to others. Okay, I'm finished the side bit on the Trinity. Let's go back. I'm finished that side bit. We talked about our origin, where we came from, God's image bearers, knowing and showing his love, which sounds amazing, but I don't know if you feel like that. I don't always. This is why we've been talking about the gap in this series on union with Christ, the gap between our experience and what we know. It's there. I don't know if I always feel like an amazing image bearer of God. We can see the gap when we start to get into our second point, which is where we think about what's the problem. And at the end of the day, the problem is about being poorly connected. It's something I was struggling this week. I was trying to fix our iPad. Our iPad got stuck constantly showing the Apple logo. No matter what buttons you pressed for how long, just the Apple logo came up, and I have this love-hate relationship with Apple, so it was just really getting to me. So I Googled what I had to do, and it told me, of course, I had to do a DFU, obviously. I didn't particularly know what that was, but I followed the instructions. Had to be connected to the computer, and you know when you plug something into a computer, it just makes a sound to tell you it's connected, like do-do-do, and you go, oh great, it's connected. So it's kind of fixing. Mine kept making the opposite sound, do-do-do. And then it would connect again, did-did-did, did-do-do. And so for hours, I'm trying to get this thing to work. Is it connected and disconnected? I just wish it really had worked. The problem was it being connected. And when it comes to knowing our future and our destiny, connection helps explain our problem. Because our problem is we've lost touch with what we're supposed to be in touch with. Our second point is our problem. And we're heading towards Jesus here. Because Jesus came as both the Son of God and fully a human, fully a man. He came as the ultimate statue of God's image. Not really as a statue, as the true person, the one truly reflecting God, knowing and showing the love of God. See this in John 1, verse 18. Kids, if you haven't already guessed it, this is the second of your verses you need to fill in on your sheet. Listen to get the answers here. John 1:18 says this: "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, has made him known." Jesus is connected to God, joined, loving his Father, loving those around him. And our problem is we're not connected to God like that. Our gap when it comes to being and feeling like image bearers is that we just don't realize or we aren't joined. Here's how Jesus puts it in another verse the kids will need. John 15, verse 5. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." To be truly human, to be truly God's image bearers, we must be connected to Jesus as he's connected to God, attached to the vine. Because no matter what happens, apart from that, no one will ever achieve their real destiny. John 15, verse 6, Jesus goes on, "If you don't remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers." You know, last week we were thinking about this idea of whether it's right for a Christian person to say, you should be your best self, you should be true to yourself, you should be the kind of real you. You know, should you try and be the best you? That idea is right and it's wrong. Because how do you know what you're supposed to be? What you thought you were meant to be when you were five, probably a fireman or a princess or something, will change when you're 15. It's when you're going to be the manager of a small non-profit startup company that saves the world. Will be different to when you're 40, which means you just would like a job. Will be different to when you're 70, which means you'd like to be able to do whatever you want. You only actually know what it means to be the best you when you realize Jesus shows you what people really are. What we need is to make sure we're grafted into that vine, having faith and trust in Jesus to forgive our sin, letting him be the king that he is. And I don't know anything about grafting, okay? I had to look it up and to figure it out. But grafting, especially of fruit trees, it's fascinating. Now, I'm very wary of sounding stupid to some of you here, but it happens every week. But anyway, the idea of grafting, particularly with citrus, is you get a strong, healthy root, the rootstock, apparently. And then you graft, you know, the type of lemon or citrus or fruit that you want, you graft that into it. And because it's connected to the really healthy rootstock, it will grow the awesome lemons it needed to grow or the awesome oranges it needed to grow. They will become the best of those oranges they could because they've been reconnected to a strong base. And when we're in union with Christ, when we're grafted to that strong base, we can know for sure we're really growing into who we're meant to be. We can see what it means to be truly human. And here's our last point today, where we are going. And when you become a Christian, it's like there's fresh growth. In our verse from Colossians earlier, it's in the middle of this section where he's talking about what changes when people are saved from sin through Christ. Certain things stop and certain new things grow. Colossians 1 from verse 9, and kids, you'll need part of this one. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. New self are the words you need for the sheet. But you see, it's about some things being taken off, some things being put on, and it goes on to help us understand why, as Christian people, we might not yet feel like God's image bearers. It's because we're not there yet. We're on the way. Yes, we're grafted in, absolutely. But the growth is coming. Our new self keeps coming in the rest of Colossians 1, verse 10. It's being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You are joined to Jesus, growing into his new image bearer each and every day, to know God and show God in love to all. And it's not just us showing it to our own neighbours, but our destiny is actually grandly cosmic in some way. You know, that bit we read from Ephesians, God says, actually, when you're united to Jesus, your destiny is in the church that knows God and shows God to all. How glorious he is. In Ephesians 3, we read, God's intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what your real future is meant to be? The image of God restored in you through Christ. Growing into those who together will show the love and know the love of Christ to all. So let me ask, how are your dreams going? Your life plan? What you probably have in mind as your destiny? How's it working out? Are you disappointed you're not where you want to be? Does that make you sad? Are you spending a lot of your free time thinking about how you can just sort of get ahead? But do you know when you'll be ahead? And of what? Are you just someone who's a bit younger and you're thinking, I have no idea what I'm going to do or be? I reckon the way you know what you think your destiny is, the way you know what dreams really matter, is by what you celebrate, by what things you see as the big wins. I talked about some things right at the start of the talk. These things, I reckon, if you really celebrate them, they reveal what your dreams are, what you think your destiny is. If your big aim is financial security, then the thing that makes you really celebrate is all those little financial gains. If your big aim is a close family, then, you know, getting the family together, that's the real win. If your big aim is restored cars every hour in the shed, that is worth celebrating. If you want to dominate League of Legends, getting online is the big win. If your big aim is for people to talk well of you when you die, then every time you help someone or make them feel nice, that's a win. It's not that they aren't sometimes wins. It's not that they aren't sometimes things we'd celebrate. But they're just not the biggest ones. They're not actually the way you'll become the best you. They're not actually the way that you'll become who you're supposed to be in Jesus. If our future is being restored to the image of God in Christ, shouldn't we celebrate anything that sees us becoming like that? As a church, as individuals, we need to celebrate the right wins. And I don't know if I do, and I don't know if we do enough. But if relying on Christ for forgiveness is being more connected to God, shouldn't we celebrate when people confess sin? We don't celebrate sin, but we celebrate when people confess. If showing everyone the love of God in Christ is what we're made for, when people serve in ministry, serve their friends and neighbours in the name of Jesus, that's a win, isn't it? When we hold our tongue, when we're tempted to get angry or gossip, but we hold it because we know how graciously God has treated us and we want others to see that is a win. When we love others by ringing and messaging and whatever, that is a win. When kids do it, parents and friends, any time one of us does those things, it's a celebration. Because we ought to celebrate what we value. And the thing we really value is our ultimate win is in becoming what we're supposed to be. Our destiny is the image of God, restored to us in union with Christ. Let me pray. Father, I want to confess for me, and I suspect for some of us, that we get confused about our future. Apart from we sort of know we'll go to heaven, but we get confused about our dreams and our destiny. So we spend our time celebrating all this stuff that's good, but not who we're ultimately supposed to be. Forgive us for that, for not being clear about that. Help us to repent of things we love too much. And will you show us again we're united to you, the Lord Jesus, through the cross, that are grafted to you, that we're being grown into image bearers of God. And that one day together you will grab us all and hold us up and say, isn't this good? And every power and every authority everywhere will look at you, Lord, and say, that God is glorious. We thank you for your words to us. In Christ's name, amen.